time for the fastest 3 hours in morning talk radio, live and local. It's the Ed Dean Radio Show. Here he is, the headliner, the showstopper, the main event. Here's Ed Dean.
4 minutes after the hour. Good morning, everybody. Ed Dean right here on FM 101.1 AM 600. This is WBOB. Coming up at 729, we'll have our trivia question kind of rolled over. We've had a couple of them in the last hour of yesterday's program, but we'll give out a couple today, and you can win Ed Dean's money. But before we get to all the guest issues coming up here in hour number two, again, we're all the way with you to 9 a.m., the kick it off with the morning news, here is A.J. Davis. Good morning.
Good morning, Ed. On Monday, Corrine Brown's attorneys made their arguments on why the former congresswoman deserved a new trial. U.S. District Judge Timothy Corrigan took motions under advisement, and he said he'll issue written responses on the motions as soon as possible, but no date has yet been set. Experts said that Brown faces 5 to 7 years in federal prison and that not taking responsibility for her crimes, if the conviction holds, could equal more prison time. The Better Business Bureau of Northeast Florida issued a warning about a new scam going around that's targeting Jacksonville businesses. The BBB said scammers are sending out emails to businesses using its name and logo, saying that they're the subject of legitimate complaints. But in reality, it's a scam to trick recipients into giving up valuable information. Tom Stevens, president and CEO for the Better Business Bureau, said the scam's searching for personal information, such as banking credentials, credit card numbers, and even Social Security numbers.
Coming up in a few moments, David Williams, who is the president of the Taxpayers Protection Alliance. He's one of the best. I enjoy having him come on. You can see him on Fox News and Fox Business News, Russia versus Tax Codes. There's an article in Politico.com that came out just a couple of days back that says that the Russia blowback may have, well, how do I, wait, what was the title? I got it right here. That investigating Russia will have, what does it say? Democrats fear Russia probe blowback. In other words, nobody's talking about it, except for the Dems. And by the way, do you know who's saying this, by the way? These are Democrat political strategists like Mark Penn, former Clinton strategist and pollster out there. Quote, we need to talk about what people think when they wake up in the morning. It's not Russia, said one strategist. And if you missed hour number one, let me tell you what we kind of talked about a little bit this morning right here.
I'd be guilty. It will be that she stood up and presented her case in court guilty. What if you're innocent? I believe in the system.
She believes in the system. Corrine Brown, again, as we said yesterday, I told you a decision would not be made. It's just the way it is. That, again, this is the way, unfortunately, the legal system, it does not move as quick as we'd like it to see, kind of like our politicians. But yet, we told you yesterday, don't expect a decision. I mean, this could be 3 months down the road. And then, of course, another area of sentencing could be 3 months down the road. This thing could be clogged up in the courts for another, I don't know, maybe 3 to 6 months. Who knows? But Corrine Brown, again, I guess she's got time for another fundraiser out there. Many of you have emailed me why. Well, wait a second, Ed. We were told that $25 a ticket, 4,200 people were supposed to show up. Flooding or not, let me tell you something. I would have been out there. So maybe they didn't have enough people ready to show up, but this gives Corrine Brown more time to go out there and fundraise.
I'm going to be tried in a courthouse that I built and named.
And you were found guilty. Jesse Jackson was with her yesterday. Evidently, I didn't see anybody, even our partners over at News 4 Jax, or even some of the other affiliates. Why couldn't anybody? I wasn't there, so I was on the air. Didn't have a chance to get over there, but how come nobody interviewed Jesse Jackson? I mean, when you listen to Corrine Brown talk, I mean, can you imagine her? You know what? I want to get her on this radio show. Can you imagine getting Jesse Jackson and her on this show? I don't know if I could keep a straight face of the comedy hour. And I would have asked, as a journalist, now, I'm not slamming the local reporters here. Kent Justice is a friend. I think he's one of the best. But whoever was out there covering this story, I don't care if it was CBS or Fox 40, whatever, and all the other ones out there, I would have asked Jesse Jackson, do you believe Corrine Brown is innocent? And if that is the case, on what areas? And I would have even gone further. Yes, I would have asked the R question. Do you believe that race was involved? Come on, folks. If you're going to make it juicy, and we know the media loves to do that, then why not do it? Of course, Jesse probably would have looked at it and go, why'd you? No, I would have. Well, that's what the Corrine Brown people brought up. They claimed it was race. So there's nothing to back that up. So Anyway, so I'd love to get Corrine Brown on this radio show. Coming up again a little bit at 7:29, we've got our political trivia. David Williams is going to join us at the bottom of the half hour. Eric is at Rurark. He's a research director for Numbers USA. There is a poll that just came out here in Florida on this Trump immigration. Not illegal, but dealing with immigration. A brand new poll shows that Floridians overwhelmingly want to reduce legal immigration. More than 60% want to slash green cards to roughly 1 million to 500,000 per year. Eric Rourke, research director for Numbers USA, we're going to be debating this because why? The whole idea is, okay, are these areas where they're affecting those here that are looking for jobs here in this country that are here legally? I'm not saying those that are coming to this country with visas are here illegally. They're not. But America First takes a higher precedence, takes a higher priority than that what is here deemed to as a visitor in this country. So we will have all that coming up. Also, can I throw another one out there? Fox News has stepped into it again with Eric Bolling, showing pictures of certain parts of his anatomy. 7 years ago, has been reported. Now, the reason why that Fox News wants to kind of squash all this down, and I don't blame them, is because, according to some of the news reports, 21st Century Fox, the parent company, is working to acquire the rest of a European broadcaster company called Sky PLC that it does not already own, and attorneys for several employees have sued Fox. In other words, when you look at the movies, they do not want this involved when it comes to a lawsuit. They don't want this coming involved when it comes to collaboration or comes to a company buying another one because fear of the stock prices and everything else. But this is something, here's the question. We're going to have this debate coming up in a little bit. This is something that happened 7.5 years ago. It wasn't right then. It's not right now. It was all wrong. The question is there a time limit? Is there, as they say in the judicial world, a statutory limit of, like, you know, Donald Trump made a comment with Access Hollywood 11 years ago. People say, well, you know, Clinton did that 20 years ago. That politician did it that 15 years ago. Is there a time limit of where do you draw the line, especially when you go after politics and politicians, excuse me, about what they said or what they flip-flopped on? Where do you draw the line? And is Fox News, I mean, some of you may be biased and say, well, Fox News no matter what, or Fox News, F-A-U-X, like Guy Fawkes, fake, you know, whatever. Some people do say that about Fox News. Where do you draw the line on it? Where do you draw the line on how many years after somebody who's messed up, or do you sit back and say 7 years later, okay, it wasn't like you did a crime. It wasn't like you did a felony and now we caught you. So where do you draw the line? We'll have that debate coming up here in just a little bit. 904-222-8255. George, good morning.
Yes, good morning. Did we have a white or black president, a white or black attorney general when Corrine Brown was charged?
The attorney general was black. The president was half white, half black.
Okay, then I don't want to hear any screaming about racism.
Hey, oh, by the way, who beat her in a Democratic primary? Let's go a little further like that. And by the way, who was convicted her on that jury? It was several members of the black community as well.
Right, and as I said before, if she'd played the game, and I don't particularly like the game, I think they should just have bonuses we vote in, but they played the game of piling up money legally, then she wouldn't be in this mess. And all kinds of people in Congress are multimillionaires when they time they retire. The second thing I wanted to say is General MacArthur was a military dictator of Japan after World War II. And the people who were in the military were cutting people's heads off. They were doing all kinds of nasty things that were against the laws of man. And they acted like ISIS. What did MacArthur do to change the situation? He changed the way they thought. And that's what we should be doing in Afghanistan and other places where in the Middle East, et cetera. We are not doing that. All we're doing is using the military, which is extremely important, but we should be controlling their schools, their radio, the television for a few years, and get them straight.
Do you know what would settle all this problem in the Middle East? Are you ready?
10 nukes.
Well, close. Rambo, Sylvester Stallone, maybe Bruce. By the way, you know Bruce Willis is doing a new Death Wish movie, and now they're calling it too, right? Yeah, maybe, you know, Arnold Schwarzenegger. I tell you what also would solve the problem. Are you ready for this? Do you know what group? Postal workers. That's who I would send over to take care of all the problem. So anyway, some people ask me, hey, were you in the service? Yeah, the Postal Service. I kid about all that, but I think, to your point, I got to run. I appreciate the call, but I mean, I think there are things that are being taken care of over there. I do recall when Dick Cheney said, there will be things that we will go after Al-Qaeda that will never, ever be reported in the media, because they don't want it being reported in the media. Now, I like to see it being reported in the media, but what I don't like to see is when you've got, after we cut a deal with Iran, to see how their little ship boats come up and trying to mess with our carriers. That's what I don't want to see. And that's the kind of news reports that kind of make the headlines. Coming up next, David Williams, a Democrat probe. Is this going to be a blowback for Democrats coming up in the 2018 elections? We'll get to all this here in a little bit. Ed Dean right here, AM 600, FM 101.1. This is WBOB. At 729, we'll have our trivia. You can win Ed Dean's money as we continue to move along. Mornings from 6 to 9 on FM 101.1, AM 600. This is WBOB. All right, David Williams. You see him on Fox News, Fox Business News. He is the president of the Taxpayers Protection Alliance. The website is protectingtaxpayers.org. I don't know who wrote this, David Sider, Spider, whatever his name is for political, but he may be out of a job. The title of the article is, Democrats Fear Russia Blowback, the Russia Probe Blowback. Mark Penn, who said this in an article also on Fox News, he is the former Clinton pollster, quote, we need to talk about what people think when they wake up in the morning, and it's not Russia, David Williams.
Hi, Ed, and I just want to make sure, can I win some of your money? You just mentioned some people can win your money. Can I get some of that?
Well, yeah, but you have to be here and call in the right time, and you'll just sit by the phone and not get any work done. Yeah.
That's so unfair. Yeah, so, you know, what's happening is the Democrats have been playing this Russia card for, 8 months now? And people are getting tired of it. I mean, it's just, you know, they want bigger things coming out of, the Democratic Party, but also the Republicans. They want tax reform. They want the debt ceiling addressed. They want real spending cuts. So, you know, the Democrats, what do they have? They have nothing. All they have is Russia.
The article points out that Democrats are increasingly conflicted in how to press the possible area of bringing up in the campaign about Russia and Trump. By the way, you do have a Democrat primaries as well. But even the article says that Democrats campaigning in districts around the country are de-emphasizing Russia in their rhetoric. Now, I'd have to assume these are close aligned elections where maybe Hillary or Trump won by a few percentage points. I don't see that. I mean, Maxine Waters is safe as can be. I think these are going to be mostly in closely tied elections. Am I right or wrong on that?
Well, you're probably right. But what do they have to talk about? I mean, what do the Democrats have to talk about? What kind of legislation have they offered in the last 8 months? What is their economic plan? What are they about? We don't know what they're about because they haven't said anything. They've just said that they're against the Republicans and they're against whatever the Republicans are for. So they really need to come up with a message. I mean, if they want to have any sort of survivability here. I mean, listen, just last week we had the West Virginia governor, you know, switch to Republican. So, you know, the Republican Party is not that in bad of a shape right now.
Mark Penn, who also, as I said before, former advisor to Bill and Hillary Clinton, he says that when you look at the polls out there, he says actually Democrats do a lot better on health care than they do on Russia.
Well, and what's interesting is if you look at the news and you talk about health care in Russia, that, you know, look at the economy. I mean, 1 million jobs have been added since Trump came in. Now, listen, if this were Obama, if this were a continuation of the Obama administration, they'd be falling over themselves,
right,
talking about the stock market, talking about the jobs, but they are not. CNN, you know, maybe they don't know the stock market exists, because I watch bits and pieces of CNN, and they're not talking about the economy at all, and that is the one bright spot right now, and it's an important bright spot.
Yeah, let me remind everybody that one of their idols is Tip O'Neill, and what is Tip O'Neill, what is his famous quote, instead of, you know, hanging out with Reagan after 6 p.m., he said, quote, all politics is local. Evidently, the Dems seem to want to forget that.
They do, and they want to forget that just even the talk of tax reform is driving the economy. And what's interesting is the Fed came out last week and said, you know, even though the economy is doing well, we are not going to raise interest rates. And that's been the biggest fear of economists, that once this economy gets chugging again, that they're going to raise interest rates and we're going to have a bit of a bear market where, you know, some of the gains are going to be, you know, modified. But no, they said we're not going to raise interest rates. So that's even better news for the economy. It's really bad news for Democrats, but great news for everyone else.
We're on the phone with David Williams, president of the Taxpayers Protection Alliance, a free market advocacy group out there that follows what's going on in the tax circle, not only in D.C., but other states and government spending as well. Go to protectingtaxpayers.org. So when some of these, I get a lot of emails. You get some of these, they're not chat rooms like you see you back in Yahoo. I mean, when you had nothing to do years ago. I don't have time for that stuff anymore. But when you see like a thread on Facebook, now you and I, now you when I do my Facebook posts, I try to be funny. You're very funny on some of your Facebook posts. But when I see, like, you'll see Trump rules, some sort of Facebook, and somehow I get included with this or I get tagged. So I have a little bit of fun. Let me explain this to the audience and to you, David. Somebody pulled up and goes, look at all these great economic numbers, Trump and Trump this and Trump that. And I sat back and I said, listen, I like what Trump is doing on the deregulation. I think that what you see with the economy, and this is what I want your take here on, David. When you see a 2.6 GDP percent growth rate from April to June, I think that's because businesses were looking at somehow that there was going to be a repeal and replacement bill doing something with Obamacare. Now you look at the month of July. You see car sales are flat. You look at manufacturing output, it's kind of low. Mixed results in some of the areas. But, I mean, when jobs are up, when you look at some of the areas of construction, this is what I'm getting at. So I posted this in the Facebook post. Give me a bill that Trump has done to make the economy flourish. Now, there hasn't been any bill. But what I think is derived all this on, David, is that there is an optimism out there by companies that we're going to see true tax reform or tax cuts. Is that what I just pointed out there? Or is that what businesses are basing things on?
Well, you just said it. It started in January with the repeal of regulations, and businesses just, you know, they breathe a sigh of relief saying, okay, finally, someone who understands what regulations do. But the next step in this, as you just said, is tax reform, and that's why September is going to be such an important month for the Republicans, for this economy, because they're going to give August a pass. Because, listen, Congress has left, the president has left D.C., so no one expects tax reform in August. But September, I think, is the key month for tax reform, and Republicans need to get their act together and do something. Because if they don't, you know, we could see a backslide. But look at this, the month of July. Yeah, summer is an awful time for the economy historically, but 209,000 jobs were added, you know, a million jobs since January. So this economy is defying all logic because you have a unpopular president, according to the press, yet, you know, we seem to be doing okay economically.
209 jobs. I thought we were back in the Obama economy.
209,000.
209 jobs. Remember some of those years you and I were covering this where they increased, I don't know, during the Obama economy, like 50,000 jobs. I'm like, that's like 1,000 jobs per state. That's like a job per city. That's no growth out there. David Williams here on our Newsmaker line. So here's the – let me throw the pros and cons at you. First off, Mitch McConnell didn't really say this, but when he and Paul Ryan back in January, Ryan says, hey, within our first 200 days, we're going to do this, 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 and that. Well, guess what? 200 days later, we keep hearing about tax cuts or tax reform. You say it's September. Let me tell you what's going to – and those are the cons. I mean, we talked about it. We're trying to hype it up. But here's the pros part. If this is done, what is the percentage-wise being talked about right now that these tax cuts could be done retroactively? Is it a 60% talk, 80% talk? Because if that's the case, they will make up for the time lost this year they didn't get anything done.
No, I think it's 95% that will be retroactive, because as long as you pass something, and I don't want them to wait until December 31st, but if you pass something on December 31st, you can make it retroactive for the whole year. So I think there's a 95% chance it'll be retroactive. And, yeah, I mean, it'll be a shot in the arm to the economy. And, you know, I was watching Fox News this morning, and Rep. Louie Gohmert was saying that we have to bring it down to 15%, the corporate tax rate, because at that point we are competitive with China, because China point is that 21 to 23%, if we can get our corporate tax rate down to 15%, we will leapfrog over China and really be a threat to them economically, especially with our corporate tax rate.
About a minute or so left. Who keeps putting up this artificial date, this artificial number that once 2018 comes around, you're not going to see anything happen? Wrong. I've seen Bill Clinton push back or push into August of 1994. It bit them in the rear end. But crime bills and a lot, you know, welfare reform, I don't buy into that 2018, nothing's going to get done.
Well, you know, I kind of do, because these Republicans are chicken. Democrats are, well, Democrats are who they are.
Yeah.
But we're not going to see any bold legislative, you know, things happen in 2018, and that's why I want to get it done in 2017. Listen, there is a possibility that something will happen next year, but why take that chance? Get it done now, and just, you know, let's move on with our lives and see what happens in 2018. There's no reason to wait. And as we've been saying for months, no more excuses for the Republicans.
And David, real quick, if these guys don't get it done, I don't want to sound like I'm radical, but primary them all.
Absolutely. You have to deliver. I mean, you know, put up or shut up, right?
That's exactly right. David Williams is the president of the D.C. Group Taxpayers Protection Alliance. The website is protectingtaxpayers.org. It's always good to talk to you. One ping only, Sean Connery.
One ping only.
That's our Russia collusion. David Williams, good to talk to you as always. Thank you so much for coming here on the Ed Dean Radio Show. All right, 904-222-8255, 904-222-8255. Coming up next for Numbers USA, Eric Rorick is going to be talking about the latest poll here in Florida with a majority, 60%. Now, I have to assume there are a lot of Democrats in that poll, but we will ask them, support scaling back legal immigration. We will get to all that here in a little bit. All right, here is our trivia question. J. Edgar Hoover must have loved this individual, because he certainly suppressed all the damaging information on this elected official of bribery, drunkenness, womanizing, sleeping around. Who in the from the 1940s to, let's say, the 1970s, who did J. Edgar Hoover, who was that information that he suppressed all that information about? Name me that politician, and we will put you in to win Ed Dean's money. I think he really liked this guy, but there was a reason why he liked this guy. But he suppressed all this information on this well-known politician who was busted. He wasn't busted, but he was drunk, womanizing, broke the law in several cases. Who did J. Edgar Hoover protect? 904-222-8255. Should legal immigration, should the numbers be reduced? We will get into that debate in a few moments right here. Ed Dean on WBOB. All right, coming up in a few moments, we will take calls on our trivia, and you're going to win Ed Dean's money right here. Mornings from 6 to 9, FM 101.1, AM 600. This is WBOB. So here on the Ed Dean Radio Show, we've been playing some of the clips. You know, again, everything is based on race with Trump. Again, this is about legal immigration. If Jim Acosta is not disagreeing with Stephen Miller, White House senior advisor on the issues out there, then somehow we want to go after diversity visas, as according to Luis Gutierrez, which we played this past week already, that this is a race issue, because now it does not only go after people south of the border, but those in African countries and Caribbean countries, or those from the Caribbean, excuse me. But yet to point out that diversity visas, folks also are from Europe and South America and also Russia. So this is not about a race issue, but that's what the liberal left will make it about. Interesting, Eric Ruark is on our newsmaker line. He's the research director of Numbers USA, which is the nation's largest immigration reduction advocacy group. And he's here to explain why that there's a latest poll that was been taken out there where 60% show that they support President Trump's plan on reducing legal immigration in half. Eric, first off, it's good to talk to you. Tell me how this poll was done. Were there a good chunk of Democrats, independents, and Republicans in this poll?
Yes, it's 1,000 likely voters. We did a national poll. We also did one in Florida. So actually in Florida, you see 64% support at least reducing immigration to 500,000 or less. And so for Florida, you see support among all groups, Democrats, Republicans, independents, and conservative liberals, union households. So this is definitely crosses ideological and party lines.
When the titles say the nation's largest immigration reduction, explain that to me, would you?
Well, we were founded in 1996 by a gentleman named Roy Beck. So I don't know if any of your listeners are familiar. He's sort of known as the gumball guy. He did a video with gumballs as a visual, sort of showing immigration to the U.S. in context of global population. And so that, at this point, that has 85 million views since it's been put up. So what we've been doing, I don't know how many of your listeners will be familiar with the Jordan Commission, which recommended in 96 a lot of what we see in the RAISE Act. And unfortunately, Barbara Jordan, who was the chair of that committee, passed away right before the recommendations were given to President Clinton. But we were formed in 96, and the thinking behind for Roy Beck founding Numbers USA was to help implement those recommendations. And so we've been plugging along for 20 years, and this is the first time really we've seen legislation that would incorporate a lot of those recommendations and principles that the Jordan Commission recommended. One of those is reducing refugees to 50,000. The other is ending chain migration, getting rid of the visa lottery, which you mentioned before, and also making sure that you look at how immigration affects American workers, and particularly minority and vulnerable Americans, and that's something that's been totally absent from the debate for the last 30 years.
All right, I got to get a question because I only got a few minutes here. So here's when you have liberals, or let's say you even have a few Republicans that sit back and say, no, why should we do this? Why do we need to reduce reduction in immigration? Is there a reason why that some Democrats will say, no, we don't need to lessen it at all? Was there a reason? Because sometimes when you do a poll, they'll even add on to a point. They go, well, I disagree with Trump's plan. What were some of the areas where they might have disagreed within the reduction area?
Well, I think one of the big reluctance you see is, if you raise the issue of reducing legal immigration, then you see the blowback where your motives are questioned, or somehow you're not doing this because you want to help American workers, you're doing this because you want to. And when you talk about immigration reduction, no one out there is suggesting that we cut off all immigration. It's reducing it from, what is it now, 1 million a year, to about half of that. And what people say, and then Jim Acosta you also mentioned, is an example of where somehow this idea that we've always allowed anyone who wants to come in to come into the United States, and it's always been at least 1 million. And we're at a historic high right now. And so it's ahistorical, as Stephen Miller was pointing out. But for a lot of people, particularly when you see within the Democratic ranks, but you also see in the Republican Party, Marco Rubio is a great example of this idea that employers should you be able to use immigration in order to find lower wage employees, as opposed to going out recruiting Americans and paying them higher wages and offering them more benefits. But there's also the political aspect, and there's the cliche that Democrats want cheap votes and Republicans want cheap labor. There's a lot of truth to that, but that's also something that crosses party lines as well, where you have donors and corporations effectively lobbying for subsidized labor, and they've been getting their way in Congress.
Let me throw one at you there. When they bring up the area of learning to speak English, that has always been one of those areas that's been laid out there for citizens to become part and to assimilate in this country legally, and yet the Dems act like this is some sort of new transformation about putting English in the bill, and somehow it turns out to be racist.
Well, everything they act like it's somehow coming, out of the blue, and we've never confronted this before. But as Stephen Miller also pointed out, it's been part of the naturalization process. Now it's going to be part of the green card process, and it's something that is we're in a 21st century economy. Speaking English will help you to succeed in the United States in the workforce, and it's not a requirement. It's a point system, and so it helps you to get in. It's not necessary to get in. But again, if you're going to come in the United States and work, and most employers are going to want someone who does speak English, particularly if it's a skilled position. And so it's nothing that's new, and it's certainly, if that's the one thing that the critics are latching on to, I think they're really going down the wrong road. Because we also polled on that, 82% of Americans think that should be required.
Eric Ruark is a research director for Numbers USA. So here's a clip real quick. Here is Representative Luis Gutierrez talks about the diversity visas, which we talked about already this past week on the radio show, and how this is all based on racism. Here's clip number one.
If you are brown, black, Asian, or anything other than English-speaking, highly trained technician, the Republican Party doesn't want you here. So are you calling so racist?
Oh, I think it's absolutely a racist proposal. There is no doubt in my mind. Look, if you take diversity visas, Alex, everybody knows that 90%, and they want to eliminate them, 90% of the diversity visas go to who? Black people who live in Africa, in sub-Saharan Africa, or in the Caribbean.
All right, now let me stop there. Eric, the idea of a diversity visa, which was done underneath a Democratic Congress in the 1990s, and also with George H.W. Bush, was to make it fair and equal for a lot of the, like Europe and the Soviet Union and South America. And let's say that, again, they talk about diversity. So those countries that have a low turnover, or should I say low area, for example, coming in this country, that they should get a fair shot. For some reason why, let's say that those coming from Africa or the Caribbean, there's a high group of those coming into this country. The law says, okay, now we want to allow a fairness for other countries. And guess what? The Democrats create this. Now they call it racism once you implement it.
Well, Gutierrez, that's really the one note that he always strikes, and the only note he ever strikes, because, you know, he doesn't want to have any substance debate on immigration policy. But it's interesting, you know, the visa lottery program was finalized in 1990. Bruce Morrison was the Democratic congressman who was behind that. And it came out of a pilot program, but it was instituted because the Irish nationals were complaining and the Irish government was complaining because in 65 the law changed to the point where they weren't getting as many visas.
Mm.
And so the whole idea behind the diversity lottery was to allow Irish people more opportunity to come to the United States. Now, when it mentions Africa and the Caribbean, when you see the merit-based system, if the RAISE Act were to be implemented, and this also goes to the point about English-speaking countries, you know, you have Nigeria, for instance, or Ghana, and certainly in the Caribbean, you have English-speaking people there who would have a very good opportunity under the merit-based system to come to the United States. And so you might see different, you will see shifts in where people are coming from, but it has nothing to do with anything that Gutierrez says or probably ever will say about immigration.
That is exactly correct. Even though the majority of a lot of it's been coming from Africa and the Caribbean, but again, we want to make it fair. So in order to make it fair due to the law that the Dems help create, somehow, if it's less of those from the black communities in the Caribbean or Africa, that's considered racism. Go figure. All right. The latest, go to Numbers USA. Eric Ruark is a research director. By the way, Eric, real quick, what's the website or what information can people see this information on?
NumbersUSA.org. And you can also see the Gumballs video. So if you haven't seen it, I think people find it very interesting.
Well, okay, Gumball, or I keep thinking you say Gumbo.
So anyway, Gumball.
I know.
Can't. Not Gumball. No. That's a whole other issue.
Good to have you on today. I prefer more the Gumbo instead of the Gumball. But anyway, so an interesting story. Go to numbersusa.org. Again, on the issue of reducing legal immigration, where overwhelmingly it's been supported here in Florida, 64-65%. Even a bunch of Democrats support it. All of this here on the Ed Dean Radio Show. Coming up next, 904-222-8255, a lot of the issues we talked about. Should we reduce the size of legal immigration? Also, the issue of sanctuary cities we talked about in hour number one, where, again, it's the middle finger up at the federal government. And, again, is this an area that Democrats want to die on? We also talked about the issue, is there going to be a blowback due to nothing but Russia? Remember what Tip O'Neill said, all politics is local. We got a lot of the table issues that you want to bring up. We can do it. Trivia coming up next, 904-222-8255. Ed Dean on WBOB. Coming up in a few moments as we move along in hour number three here in a few moments. Not to sound redundant, radio talk show host Wayne Dillon, who has owned many radio stations, worked with many companies as a news anchor as well, will join us along with Ben Yant, who is a radio talk show host and statewide reporter on the issue of Fox News. Again, as we reported, one of the reasons why that they're going after cramping down on sexual harassments or pictures by Eric Bolling or whatever, is that they want to buy 21st Century Fox, wants to buy European broadcaster Sky PLC. And, of course, when there's an acquisition, that includes stock. And nobody wants to be associated with a company that may have a bunch of lawsuits, which means money paid out hurts your stock. So we will be debating that issue. And here's a question I want to ask is, okay, this happened with Eric Bolling 7+ years ago, where he sent certain pics of his body part, just stupid. But yet again, is there a time frame where we sit back and say, okay, that was then, this is now. If he's not doing it anymore, is it really that big of an issue?
And it was allegedly that
kind
he
of,
did it.
Yeah,
right?
Exactly. Allegedly. Then again, like Donald Trump made the comments on the Access Hollywood bus 11 years ago. I mean, is there a statutory, you know, is there a time limitation here that we need to be bringing up? So we will be debating all this, plus other issues we've talked about this morning at 904-222-8255. Sanctuary Cities, is this an issue that Democrats really believe it's going to be a win-win issue for them here in the state of Florida? Before I get to the phones, it just seems that the only big issues Democrats want to run on, Russia, by the way, political.com, we just talked about it a few moments ago with David Williams. Politico.com did an article we talked about. Democrats fear blowback. Remember Tip O'Neill said all politics is local? I mean, let's be honest. This is the Democrats' MO. It's not about issues. Well, it is, but it's not about the main issues. You know, we come out with a new, better deal put out there by Chuck Schumer and, of course, Nancy Pelosi, Debbie Wasserman Schultz, that, again, there's nothing new. Soak the rich. We want to have a monopoly on what can be done, what cannot be done out there. We want to have a minimum wage, a living wage is what they call it. No longer it's minimum wage, kind of like global warming. It's climate change. It's no longer a minimum wage. It's a living wage at $15 an hour. This is the MO by the Dems. It's Russia, transgender, and what was the other one? Race. There you go. I thought I was excluding one there. Race, if you support Trump, you're racist. Transgender and Russia. That's pretty much the MO today by the Democrats. There you go. Any issue we brought up, you want to bring up this morning, let's do it. 904-222-8255. Trivia. From 1940 to 1970, name me the politician that J. Edgar Hoover, not Herbert, J. Edgar Hoover, former FBI director, had a bunch of dirt on. Of sleeping around, breaking the law when it comes to bribery, drunkenness, and a lot of other issues. But he suppressed all the information because he liked, I mean, you have to assume he liked this guy. Who is that well-known individual? 904-222-8255. And I'll even throw a caveat. Name me the politician that J. Edgar Hoover despised. Could have been a president. Could have been a vice president. Name me the one who he liked. Name me the one who he despised most of all, according to reports. Name me that president, vice president, who was that elected official as well. 904-222-8255. Joe, good morning. How are you?
Oh, I'm doing great, Ed. I think it's John F. Kennedy.
On which one?
On the having a lot of dirt on.
That is a good guess, but that is not the correct answer.
Boy, oh boy, Ed, I tell you what. Well, hey, can I say something about what the Democrats are going to run on?
Please, guys, hold on real quick. When you guys ever call a trivia, by all means, you can comment on anything you guys would like. So just remember, when you guys call in, you can question and comment any of this stuff. So go ahead, please.
Okay, well, this is going to be their platform for the elections in 2018.
All right.
It's going to be better jobs, better wages, better ingredients, better pizza. Vote Democrat.
Better job, better ingredients. I liked that one. Interesting on that one, Sal. All right. I appreciate the phone call. I think he went to your school of comedy. 904.
I'm still working at it.
No, that's fine.
JFK is
a good one. I mean, that would be...
That was probably within the sphere of what you were asking.
Well, maybe. But that is actually, I think, and by the way, some of you that are emailing me know you have to call up and get the right answer. That would have been the majority of individuals' first guess. Would have been JFK. Name me when it comes to the trivia. Name me, and I think you really like this guy, but name me the elected official... From about, I'll even narrow it down. Let's say 1945 to 1972, that he had a lot of dirt on, but he suppressed the information because this guy had done things that were illegal, but I think because he liked the guy. And then name me the politician, according to the reports, that J. Edgar Hoover could just not stand. There you go. Kind of. I mean, some of you look at the history, shouldn't be this difficult. Let's go to Bernie. Bernie, good morning.
Good morning, Ed. How are you?
Hey, man, how are you doing?
I'm good. He despised Kennedy, and he hit the dirt on Nixon.
That, you know, all those are legitimate guesses, but no, that's not the correct answer. That is not the correct answer that I am looking for. Of course, again, this is not opinion. This is based on fact. And remember, what do I say about this radio show? The facts are indisputable. Now, some of you are going to narrow it down just based alone on the issues that, well, if it's not this guy, it must be that guy. Here again, here's the Rahm Emanuel and Police Superintendent Eddie Johnson on the issue of dealing with federal immigration laws in sanctuary cities.
The burn grants are for technology, for everything from vehicles to radios to tasers that help strengthen the professionalization of our police department.
And by the way, where's he going with this? Remember, Donald Trump and Jeff Sessions, and this is one of the things I love about Sessions, has come out and said, then fine. If you don't want to abide by current law, because you got away scot-free with W, you got away heavily scot-free with Obama, we're not going to allow this nonsense of constitutional, can't use that, federal law to have the middle finger put up at it. So fine, then if we're not going to go in and arrest individuals that are not abided by federal law, and some may think that's a little extreme, then fine, we're going to take away your grant money. And then, you know, Rahm Emanuel says, well, that's unconstitutional, and out of a $1 billion budget, $3.2 will be withheld, and somehow that's going to hurt police when it comes to public safety in Chicago?
To radios, to tasers that help strengthen the professionalization of our police department and create a proactive environment.
Really? Now, here's Eddie Johnson, who is political. He is the police superintendent. And listen to what he says. The rights that the people have. No. Illegal aliens don't have rights. But he claims that they do have rights along with those that are here legally, and they all combined together have the same rights.
But they also help build trust.
We will not compromise the rights, safety, or break the sacred trust of the people that live in and visit Chicago in order to obtain those resources.
Really? Who are these people who have these rights? Oh, again, the political correctness, it's no longer illegal alien. It's either undocumented worker or, as what we've read before, unauthorized immigrant. Now, my friends, you do have a constitutional, semi-constitutional chaos going on right now. Remember, if you don't want to enforce these laws, what's next? Marijuana? That's probably next down there. I don't think there should be a federal law banning marijuana. The medical marijuana without the getting high is all open for it, you know, support it. No high, just, you know, the health tech, glaucoma, Alzheimer, AIDS, all that kind of stuff. But this should be left to state law. But whether you like it or not, immigration is a federal law that states must abide by. If you don't like it, then you change it. You change the outlook of Congress. But yet, what about our DUI laws? Do we get rid of that if the cities don't want to abide by that? What about our rape laws, sexual predators, sexual offenders, breaking and entering? I mean, is this open for interpretation as well? Well, according to the left, it is. Now, I'm not always the biggest fan of federal law out there. And I'm certainly not the biggest fan of the feds overstepping its boundaries, but kind of an interesting take. Here's Jonah Goldberg from National Review on special report last night about how, as we reported last week, Democrats are very quickly becoming somewhat conservatives on the issue of local and state rights.
I think this kind of needs to be unpacked a little bit. I generally think that sanctuary cities is just a terrible idea. At the same time, I understand why local, like first responders and police and whatnot, do worry about getting cooperation out of these communities. And I think you can respect that reasonable concern without saying that cities get to flout federal law. There's also an enormous amount of virtue signaling going on by Rahm Emanuel and these guys. I mean, $3 million out of a police budget that's over $1.2 billion is a rounding error. For the most part, this has a lot more to do with big coalition Democratic politics, with immigration politics and the rest, than with a newfound love and respect for federalism.
But there you go. A newfound love, respect for local and state rights that they always accuse Republicans of being racist about. Now the Democrats are embracing it. We'll have all this coming up next. Hour number 3 coming your way right here. Ed Dean on WBOB. Georgia!